It provides a way for folks that you got to work, you're sick, something happens, you got to miss a service, that you can get it, make up for it on the website. Yeah. Well, 1:30, folks, let's stand and open up to 1:30 this evening. I never get tired of singing this song because there is power in the blood. Amen? We're going to sing the first, second, and fourth. Would you be free from your burden of sin? Yes, there's power in the blood, power in the blood. Would you live evil of victory when there's wonderful power in the blood? There is power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. There is power, wonder-working power in the precious from your passion and pride. Yes, there's power in the blood, power in the blood. Come for a cleansing to Calvary's tide. There's wonderful power in the blood. Yes, there is.
There is power, wonder-working power
in the blood of the Lamb.
There is power, wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb.
Servant for Jesus, your King. There's power in the blood, power in the blood.
Would you live daily His praises to sing? There's wonderful power in the blood. There is power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb.
There is power, wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb. Seated, church. Oh, I'm so thankful for that glorious power. You know, the devil doesn't mind if you get religious. Not at all. You can have all the religion you want, but when you start talking about the blood, oh, it bothers him. He knows that the power is in the blood, and salvation is in the blood. Our redemption is in that precious blood of the Lamb. Well, we talked about it this morning in snapshots of the Son of God. And we just thank the Lord that He did come. He became incarnate, the God-man. Oh, what a blessing. Well, folks, we will sing again after. At this time, though, let's grab our Bibles. So thankful for you all coming out on a Sunday night. We got a storm coming in, we know. Supposed to get 6 inches of snow. But we can thank the Lord, no tornadoes. Tomorrow night. Yeah, it's supposed to hit tomorrow night sometime after midnight. But we're not going to get as much as Upper State and then Maine. They're going to get over a foot, but we should only get about 6 inches, they're saying. But the problem is that Tuesday, like Tuesday morning, it's going to turn to icing, like a minor ice storm. So that's where you really get your hazardous conditions on the road. A lot of accidents. Oh, boy. This is our first storm of the year. People don't know how to drive in it yet. They forget. Yeah, got to work in it. Wow. Well, folks, let's grab our Bibles tonight and open up to the book of Psalms. Psalm 89, as a matter of fact. Get yourself over to Psalm 89. And I'm really thrilled tonight because we're beginning a brand new series of studies in the Word. I love these Sunday nights because we get to delve into fields of the Scripture that, you know, are not exactly appropriate for Sunday morning, where you want to preach a sermon and give an invitation. But in the teaching of Sunday nights and Wednesday nights, it's such a blessing to us. And the title of our new series is The Place of the Dead. The Place of the Dead, part one tonight. What happens when a person dies? Well, it's following along the lines of the doctrine of immortality. It's following along the lines of the intermediate state between death and resurrection. So the Bible has a tremendous amount more to say about the place of the dead. In this series of biblical studies, we'll be looking at five specific areas of the spirit world, the unseen world. First, we'll look at the unseen world itself. Second, we'll examine the place of the dead in the Old Testament. Thirdly, we'll see the place of the dead today. And then fourthly, we'll look at the place of the dead in the future. And fifthly, finally, we'll see some false views concerning the place of the dead. So first of all, tonight, as we open up our series, let's examine what the Scripture teaches concerning the unseen world. The unseen world. Now, in the Old Testament Hebrew and in the New Testament Greek, we find a total of 13 different terms being used to describe the unseen world, the spirit realm. For the student of Scripture, these 13 terms need to be understood in order to fully comprehend the place of the dead, the unseen world. So let's begin by looking first tonight that the first term used in the Old Testament for the unseen world is Sheol. You all have heard the term Sheol, and you may have some idea of what Sheol is, but hold your thought until we're done tonight. You'll know exactly what Sheol is. This Hebrew word is used 64 times in the Old Testament canon. It is found in Genesis, Numbers, Deuteronomy, 1 Samuel, 2 Samuel, 1 Kings, Job, Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, Song of Solomon, Isaiah, Ezekiel, Hosea, Amos, Jonah, and Habakkuk. 64 times they use this Hebrew term from the Masoretic text. It's known all through the Old Testament scriptures, the place called Sheol, and the Old Testament saints understood exactly what it meant and what it was. Now, from these passages, we can make six particular deductions tonight. First, that during the Old Testament period, the time period of the Old Testament, Sheol was a place that both the righteous and the unrighteous expected to go to after death. In Psalm 89, look with me in Psalm 89, and look with me at verse 47. Verse 47, David by the Holy Spirit writes, speaking to God, remember how short my time is. Wherefore hast thou made all men in vain? What man is he that liveth and shall not see death? Shall he deliver his soul from the hand of the grave? Selah. Now, here in verse 48, David intentionally uses the Hebrew word Sheol. Look at it. Question. Shall he deliver his soul from Sheol, the hand of Sheol? Now, immediately a question comes to mind. The King James Bible says grave. Yeah, that's because that's where his body goes. But he's not talking about his body. Look at verse 48. Shall he deliver his soul from Sheol? Okay? I'm going to paint a picture for you tonight. By the time we're done, you'll see it clearly. Notice here that all Old Testament people, whether saints or lost, would go to Sheol when they died. Let's look at some Old Testament saints, righteous ones, who expected to go to Sheol one day. And at the end of this teaching, I will assure you that you'll know exactly what Sheol is. Go to Genesis chapter 37. As I said, most preachers will teach you that only lost people went to Sheol. Not true. You got to use the whole Bible. Amen? And you got to have a clear understanding of the Masoretic text. In Genesis 37, look with me in verse 34. Jacob is upset because they told him Joseph was dead. He wasn't dead, but they thought he was. And Jacob rent his clothes. We're in Genesis 37, 34. And he put on sackcloth upon his loins and mourned for his son, Joseph, many days. And all his sons and all his daughters rose up to comfort him. But he refused to be comforted. And he said, for I will go down into the grave unto my son, mourning. Thus his father wept for him. Now here, Jacob says concerning Joseph that, look at it, verse 35, for I will go down into Sheol with my son, to join my son. See that? Now he's obviously not talking about his body, because his body would be dead when he died. And Joseph's body was already dead. Now, it wasn't, he was still alive, but he didn't know that. He thought he was dead. So he said, I'm going to go to Sheol to join my son. He's talking about his soul. You see that? Verse chapter 42. Chapter 42. And look with me, we'll see it again. Verse 38. Verse 38. And Jacob, again, said, my son, that Benjamin, shall not go down with you, for his brother is dead. No, he's not. He thought he was. And he is left alone. If mischief befall him, Benjamin, by the way, in the which ye go, then shall ye bring down my gray hairs with sorrow to Sheol. See that? He says, you're going to bring me down to Sheol if you take away the life of my son Benjamin, my precious Benjamin. Chapter 44, 29. I love how the King James only gives you both where the physical body goes and where the soul goes. In chapter 44, look with me at verse 29. He says that if you take this also from me, and mischief befall him, Benjamin, you shall bring down my gray hairs with sorrow to the grave, Sheol. Now therefore, when I come to thy servant, my father, and the lad be not with us, seeing that his life is bound up in the life, lad's life, it shall come to pass, when he seeth that the lad is not with us, that he will die. And thy servant shall bring down the gray hairs of thy servant, our father, with sorrow to the grave. To Sheol. The Hebrew word there is Sheol. Job. Go to Job, chapter 14. Job had quite a bit to say about the place of the dead, Sheol, in the Old Testament. Now something is going to radically change in the New Testament concerning Sheol. And I'm not going to get ahead of our studies. Well, when we come to it, I'm going to show you something incredible that occurred. An amazing divine modification takes place in the New Testament for this place called Sheol. Job chapter 14. Look at verse 11. Job says, as the waters fail from the sea, and the flood decayeth and drieth up, so man lieth down and riseth not, till the heavens be no more. They shall not awake, nor be raised out of their sleep. Oh, that thou wouldst hide me in the grave, that thou wouldst keep me secret until thy wrath be past, that thou wouldst appoint me a set time and remember me. If a man die, shall he live again? All the days of my appointed time will I wait till my change come. Thou shalt call, and I will answer thee. Thou wilt have a desire to the work of thine hands. Now, notice here in verse 14 that Job says, I'm going to wait for an appointed time for something to occur. His soul is in Sheol, as we found from verse number 13. His soul went to Sheol, his body would be buried. And he said, there's going to be a long time before my body awakes out of the dust. But he says, one day, my God will have a desire to the work of his hands, meaning his physical body. And watch what he says in verse 14. If a man die, shall he live again? All the days of my appointed time will I wait till my change come. See that? Job says, I am alive somewhere after death. That's Sheol. And he says, I'm going to wait for the resurrection of my body. Now he's going to get a glorified one because he was an Old Testament saint. Psalm 16. Flip over to Psalm 16. Very interesting. I see a number of you marking up your Bibles. I love that because it tells me you're really taking notes. I love that. Psalm 16. Look at verse 10. Messianic, prophetic prophecy here of the king. For thou wilt not leave my soul in where?
Hell.
The Hebrew word there? Sheol. Sheol. Now, don't get confused. But hell is part of Sheol. Okay? Watch. Thou wilt not leave my soul in Sheol. Neither wilt thou suffer thine Holy One, that's the second person, to see corruption. Thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. He says, yeah, my body may be buried in the sepulchre, but my soul, it won't be left in Sheol. And it wasn't. Jonah chapter 2. Jonah chapter 2. Now see, a verse like what we just read is why 9 out of 10 preachers will teach you that Sheol is hell. Period. Nothing else but hell. That's not true. Hell is part of Sheol. That's true. So they got it half right. But look with me in Jonah. Go to Jonah chapter 2. It's amazing how the minor prophets, they're not minor, they're major, just like the major prophets, but in size, they're minor. In Jonah chapter 2, it's amazing how the Bible spells this all out for us. Chapter 2, verse 1, then Jonah prayed unto the Lord his God out of the fish's belly and said, I cried by reason of mine affliction unto the Lord, and he heard me out of the belly of Sheol. I cried, and thou heardest my voice. Now, notice here in verse 2, very important that you see this. In hell, which is Sheol, that's true, there's a belly. There's a belly in hell, in Sheol. And Jonah went to it. Folks, let me explain something to you. Jonah died. A lot of preachers won't tell you this. Jonah drowned in that whale's belly. He drowned. And his soul, his body remained in the whale until the Lord brought him back. But his soul, Jesus said, there shall no sign be given this generation except the sign of Jonah the prophet. Yes. Which was 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth. Yes. And he came up alive, right? But his soul, where did his soul go? It went to a section of Sheol, which is called the belly of hell. We're going to look at that again. Now, let's notice some examples of Old Testament unrighteous people who also expected to go to Sheol after death. Go to Numbers chapter 16. Old Testament people who did not love God, who did not believe on the God of Israel, they also went to Sheol. Fascinating. Why? It has different compartments. I'm going to show you that. In Numbers chapter 16, we have the account of Korah and his ugly bunch. And they rebel against the authority, God's appointed leadership of Moses and Aaron. And watch what happens to these guys. They wish they hadn't of after God got done with them. In chapter 16 of Numbers, look with me at verse 30. Moses says in 29, if these men, Korah and his company, die the common death of all men, or if they be visited after the visitation of all men, then the Lord hath not sent me. Moses speaking. But if the Lord make a new thing, and the earth open her mouth, and swallow them up with all that appertain unto them, and they go down quick into the pit. Sheol. You'll see this term, the pit, in the Old Testament quite often. It means Sheol, folks. Then ye shall understand that these men have provoked the Lord. And it came to pass, as he made an end of speaking all these words, that the ground clave asunder that was under them, and the earth opened her mouth and swallowed them up. They went to hell with their boots on, and their houses, and all the men that appertained unto Korah, and all their goods. They and all that appertained to them went down alive into Sheol, is the Hebrew text. And the earth closed upon them, and they perished from among the congregation. These people, Korah and his company, were rebels against the Lord God of Israel. They despised Moses and Aaron, the men who God appointed to lead them. The Bible says they went to Sheol. So did Jonah. So did the Lord, Jesus Christ, in Psalm 16. Why would they go to the same place? Because it has different compartments. Okay? Sheol, some of you are getting this now. Sheol contains different compartments. But everybody in the Old Testament went there. to one or more compartments. All right, now, look in Job chapter 24. Remember, we're looking right now at people who died unsaved in the Old Testament. And we're seeing that they too went to Sheol, just like the saved saints of old. In Job chapter 24, love that book of Job, boy. Oldest book known to man. It predates the Pentateuch. How's that possible? Because Moses lived after Job, not before. That's how. It's the oldest book known in the world. Wow. Job 24, look at verse 19. Drought and heat consume the snow waters. So doth Sheol those which have sinned. You see that in verse 19? Very important verse. That tells you that all Old Testament people who died without the God of Israel, believing on Him and following His laws and rules and regulations, they went to Sheol. And it says in verse 19 that the drought and heat consumed them. It's a hot place. See that? That's because the part of Sheol they go to has fire. Are you listening? Psalm 9. Let's see it again. These Old Testament unbelievers, where did they go? They went to Sheol. In Psalm 9, you'll see it clearly here. Look with me in Psalm 9 at verse 17. 16. The Lord is known by the judgment which He executeth. The wicked, unbelievers, is snared in the works of his own hands. Higyon Sila. Think about that. The wicked shall be turned into Sheol. Sheol. Hell is part. Now, these verses I'm reading you, folks, I need to explain something. Every single one of these verses I'm reading you, Sheol is the Hebrew word. It might say pit, it might say hell, it might say a grave. Every single verse, the Hebrew word is Sheol. It's the same place, in other words, okay? The wicked shall be turned into Sheol, hell, and all the nations that forget God. See, all Old Testament people, unbelievers, went to Sheol. So did all Old Testament believers. Except they didn't go to the same place, part of Sheol. Alright, you understand that. Now, here in Psalm 49, before we move on, in Psalm 49, we have it again. And look with me in Psalm 49 at verse 14. David says, like sheep, they are laid in the grave. Death shall feed on them, and the upright shall have dominion over them in the morning. And their beauty shall consume in Sheol from their dwelling. You see that? He talks about two things in verse 14. Their physical body first being put in a grave, and then their soul going to a place called Sheol. See that? Where they're consumed. Wow. Ezekiel 32, before we go to our second deduction. In Ezekiel chapter 32, I love the book of Ezekiel. It talks about this place of Sheol over and over and over. Ezekiel 32, he calls it the pit. The pit. Yeah, it's a bottomless pit. You know why it's a bottomless pit? Because the earth is orbiting on its own axis. It's spinning. It's spinning. So you know you got there? You got zero gravity in Sheol. There's no bottom. It's a bottomless pit. Look in chapter 32 of Ezekiel. Look at verse 21. The strong amongst the mighty shall speak to him out of the midst of Sheol with them that help him. They are gone down. They lie uncircumcised, slain by the sword. They go down where? They go down into Sheol. Okay? The hell side. So first of all, people who died in the Old Testament all went to Sheol, whether they were saved or lost. But we got a second deduction tonight that we must make concerning this term. The second deduction is that although both believers and unbelievers went down to Sheol in the Old Testament, it was far more dreadful for the unbelievers than it was for the believers. In Job 24... go back to Job once again, to chapter 24. And look with me again at verse 19. Here's what Sheol meant for unbelievers. Drought and heat consume the snow waters. So also doth the grave, Sheol, those which have sinned. Okay? It's not a pretty picture the Bible paints for the wicked in Sheol. A third deduction we must make is that there are different levels and compartments in Sheol. I want to show you that from the scripture. The very fact that there are references in scripture to the lowest Sheol, the lowest hell, clearly teaches, beloved, that there are different various levels and different compartments within Sheol. It's a fascinating study. Go to Deuteronomy chapter 32. It's a fascinating place when you stop and consider that God has designed it for different purposes, Sheol. In Deuteronomy 32, look with me at verse 22. We have the song of Moses, and he says in verse 22, "For a fire is kindled in mine anger, and shall burn unto the lowest Sheol." Wait a minute, you mean there's a lower Sheol, and then there's a middle Sheol, and then there's a higher Sheol, and everything you got in between? Yep, that's what the Bible's teaching here. Why? Why would God do that? Think with me. Why would God make various different degrees of punishment in Sheol? Why do you think? Val?
Well, because you have your sinners, and then your unbelievers.
Yep.
And then you have your believers, and probably, I don't know, but I would think maybe varying on the degree of their sins.
Right, you're absolutely correct, sister. She said it would probably vary according to the degree of their sinning during their life. That's exactly correct. Adolf Hitler, he's already in the lowest Sheol. Trust me. God's got a special place for him. But a little old lady, the grandma, who looked, never heard a fly. She helped everyone in her life. She was a good person, but she wasn't saved. She'll still go to Sheol, but she's not gonna suffer like Hitler. Because she doesn't deserve to suffer as bad as he did. Now, I'm not trying to water down hell. Don't get the wrong idea, people. Hell is a horrific place for anyone who goes there. But there's various levels. Val?
I'm just wondering, how do you spell Sheol? Because
Sheol?
Yeah.
It's S-H-E-O-L. And I know you have a Strong's Concordance at home. You can look that up and you'll see. I'm just giving you a smidgen. Oh man, that's you can go through your concordance and really study up on Sheol. But go with me to, let me read this verse again. I didn't finish reading it. A fire is kindled in mine anger and shall burn unto the lowest Sheol and shall consume the earth with her increase and set on fire the foundations of the mountains. God says there is a fire down below the ground of the earth, okay? And that is Sheol. Yes, indeed. Brother, Christmas, a late Christmas present. but isn't that incredible? Verse 22, it says that fire is underneath the foundations of the mountain. It's down there somewhere. You got to get to Sheol. Hey, brother. To get to Sheol, you've got to go down. To get to heaven, you've got to go up. Amen? They're opposite directions. Now, this is extremely interesting. Go to Psalm 86, and then we'll go to our fourth deduction. In Psalms 86, that's from Mary Ann, brother. Sister Mary Ann. Psalm 86, look with me at verse 13. Verse 13. David says, "For great is thy mercy toward me, and thou hast delivered my soul from the lowest Sheol."
Oh, yeah.
David says, "Lord, you know what? Your mercy is so great to me." He said, "I deserve to go to the lowest Sheol." He said, "I was a sinner. I committed sin with Bathsheba. I had her husband killed. I'm a wicked sinner." But you know what the difference is between David and Saul? David knew how to repent. David had a tender heart toward God, toward the things of God. And David truly repented. Saul never did. Saul wanted to make an appearance before people. His heart was not right with God. And that's why he lost his kingship. But notice here, David said, "You delivered me from the lowest." It's like saying, "Lord, you delivered me from the lowest pit of hell." He did. He did. Fourthly, We have a fourth deduction concerning the term Sheol, is that the physical direction of Sheol was always downward. 1 Samuel chapter 2. This is clear from Scripture that if you wanted to get there, you had to go directly south, down. And many did, sadly, many still are. 1 Samuel chapter 2. I fear for those who are going there because it still exists. It's greatly modified from what it was in the Old Testament, but Sheol still exists. It's called hell. Look with me in 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse number 6. The Lord killeth and maketh alive. He bringeth down to the Sheol and bringeth up. There it is. He's giving you the direction geographically of Sheol. It's downward. Downward. 1 Kings chapter 2. Flip over to 1 Kings chapter number 2. Look with me at verse 6. Chapter 2 verse 6 we read. Do therefore according to thy wisdom, and let not his hoar head go down to Sheol in peace. Now he's talking about here to Joab, okay, concerning Shimei, that one that was mocking him. And it is one of his closing instructions. He said, if he violates the pact that I made with him, kill him. Death penalty. And he did. Shimei, he violated it and he died. Joab took him out. But look at verse 9. Now therefore, hold him not guiltless, for thou art a wise man and knowest what thou oughtest to do unto him. But his hoar head bring thou where?
Down.
Down, not up. Down to Sheol with blood. And he did. Job chapter 7. Oh, there's just so many references concerning this place called Sheol. And chapter 7 of Job, look with me at verse 9. As the cloud is consumed and vanisheth away, so he that goeth down to Sheol shall come up no more. Notice that. Going down to Sheol, you're not coming up. You're going to go from Sheol to the lake of fire. You're not going to come back on the earth, okay? Chapter 11. Look with me at verse 8. Canst thou by searching find out God? Verse 7. Canst thou find out the Almighty unto perfection? No way. It is as high as heaven. What canst thou do? Deeper than Sheol. The wisdom of God is deeper and broader than Sheol. What canst thou know? Now notice here that he says, he uses the term deeper. To go deep, you got to go where? Down, down. He's going down. Chapter 17 of Job. Interesting. Chapter 17, the Bible tells you where hell is. Amen? Every time you see a volcano, you're seeing something come up from out of it. Molten lava. It's a lake of fire down there. Look at chapter 17. Look at verse 16. They shall go down to the bars of Sheol, the pit, when our rest together is in the dust. Now notice here, he talks about two things in verse 16. The soul going down to Sheol, and the body, the dust, in the grave. You see that? In the dust. Very interesting. Chapter 21 of Job. Look with me at verse 13. Ones who aren't here tonight, they'll all be asking you all what last week was all about. They want, what's the new study about? You'll all be able to tell them. In verse 13, they spend their days in wealth, and in a moment go where?
Down.
Down to Sheol. Psalm 30. Go to Psalms 30. I'm glad that heaven is up. I'm glad we're going up and not down. Boy, oh boy. He delivered us from Sheol. Psalm 30. Look at verse 3. O Lord, thou hast brought up my soul from the grave. Thou hast kept me alive that I should not go down to Sheol, the pit. See that? I'm so glad that we're not going there.
Oh, yeah.
Why? Because the Lord brought us up. Oh, glory to God. Proverbs chapter 5. Proverbs. Chapter 5. I assure you, I'll have you out on time tonight. Before the flakes fly. Proverbs 5. Look at verse 5. Sin is personified here as a strange woman. Verse 5. Her feet go where?
Down.
Down. To Sheol. Her steps take hold on Sheol. Okay? There's only one place that sin takes you. Sheol. Chapter 7 of Proverbs. Look at verse number 27. Her house, sin's house, is the way to Sheol, going down to the chambers of death. Wow. Now, folks, you know, if this wasn't a real place, you wouldn't have had to worry about sin in the Old Testament. But you do, because it was, and it still is real. And people still go there when they die without Jesus Christ. Proverbs 15. You're getting a real sword drill tonight. Proverbs 15, verse 24, we read, "The way of life is above to the wise, that he may depart from Sheol," where?
Beneath.
Beneath. Sheol is beneath your feet, beloved. It's down there. You know, they had a construction crew a couple months back in Australia. And they were digging a massive hole way down, right? One of the guys that was on his coffee break, in total silence, all the machinery was shut off, and he heard something coming out of the hole. And he put his ear down there, and he heard screaming. They taped it on a tape recorder, and they put it online. You can hear it. Google it. You can hear it. The screams, I believe it's the screams of hell. I don't know. Isaiah chapter 5. Isaiah chapter 5. Look with me at verse 14. Verse 14. Oh, it's down there, all right. "Therefore, Sheol hath enlarged herself." Why is it getting bigger? That's right. Yeah. More souls are entering it. "Sheol hath enlarged herself and opened her mouth." Notice Sheol personified here. "Without measure. And their glory and their multitude and their pomp, and he that rejoiceth shall" what?
Descend
into it. You got to go down to get there. And I'm not going. Chapter 14 of Isaiah. We're glad of that. Chapter 14, look at verse 9. First word, Sheol. "Sheol from beneath is moved for thee to meet thee at thy coming. It stirreth up the dead for thee." Now these can't be dead bodies, folks. Because they can't move like these people are. These are the souls of the lost that are already there. You see it? Verse 9. "Even all the chief ones of the earth, it hath raised up from their thrones all the kings of the nations." Sheol. Sheol's waiting for you to go down there if you're not saved. Whoa. One more and then we'll move on to our fifth deduction. Amos. Our final deduction. Amos chapter 9. I love this little verse by Amos. Because he gives us the physical direction to get to Sheol. And you don't need a GPS to do it. You just need to be a lost sinner. In, what did I say? Amos.
Amos 9.
I just went by it. Amos chapter 9. Look with me at Amos chapter 9, verse number 2. "Though they dig into Sheol." You want to get to Sheol? Get your shovels out, boys. Start digging. You got to dig down. It's downward. Look at it. "Though they dig into Sheol, then shall mine hand take them. Though they climb up to heaven." Notice the opposite. "Thence will I bring them down." I am so glad that heaven is up. Yes. Glorious. Amen. Beautiful. Sheol is down, dark, and horrific. All right, now, fifthly, we have another deduction. Number 5 is that Sheol was a place of consciousness, and all who went there were seen in a state of complete consciousness, not annihilated and not soul sleeping. Those are false doctrines. We just read Jonah chapter 2, verse 2, and saw that in Sheol, they are fully conscious. Another reference I'll give you, Isaiah 14, verse 9 and 10. Isaiah 14, verse 9 and 10. We won't take the time to read it, but that's another reference to prove that in Sheol, everybody, lost or saved, is conscious. They know what's going on. Sixthly and finally, our last deduction, number six, is that Sheol was never outside or removed from God's jurisdiction. He had complete control over it, and he still does. Go to Job 26. In closing, we'll see in our final deduction concerning the term Sheol, a few fascinating things concerning God's sovereignty over it. In Job 26, look with me at verse 6. First word is Sheol. Sheol, or hell, which is in Sheol, is naked before him, God. And destruction hath no covering. He says God sees it all. God's in control of it all. He's in charge. He's sovereign. He's the king. Amen? His jurisdiction. Listen, you, these people who die without Jesus Christ and they go to Sheol, the hell side, they're not outside of God's jurisdiction. They're still under his rule, being punished by his hand of wrath forever. Psalm 139. God is in control of every inch of the universe. Every inch, including Sheol. In Psalm 139, look at verse 8. David says, where can I hide from God? Let me see. If I ascend up into heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in Sheol, behold, thou art there. He sees it all. All things are naked and open unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do. Hebrews chapter 4, down around verse 11 says, all things naked and open before the eyes of him with whom we have to do. Hey, that'll cause you to live right. His eyes are upon me. No matter where I go, he's watching me. I better live right. Deuteronomy 32. In Deuteronomy 32 for our final reference. Song of Solomon again. Song of Moses. Song of Moses, of course. And look with me in Deuteronomy 32 at verse 22. Verse 22. For a what?
Fire.
Sheol has fire. Is kindled in mine anger. He's not happy with these people who go there. And shall burn unto the lowest Sheol. Okay? And shall consume the earth with their increase. That's going to happen in 2 Peter chapter 3 when the elements are dissolved at the second advent. This is going to happen. This is prophetic. The earth shall consume with her increase and set on fire the foundations of the mountains. One day, Sheol and the flames of it are going to come up onto the earth's surface and everything is going to be burnt up and dissolved. And there'll be nothing but Jesus Christ, the King, sitting on his throne. And the souls that were in Sheol will be standing before him, suspended in space, being held up by his hand for judgment until they're cast into the lake of fire. Wow! This is powerful stuff, beloved. That's Sheol. Now, this concludes our first study in the place of the dead. And look at our look at Sheol, the first of 13 terms. That's why I say, I have no idea how long this study is going to take us. We've only covered the first term of the unseen world, which is Sheol. It's the first of 13 terms describing the place of the dead. Some of them are bad, some of them are good. So what is it? What is Sheol? Listen, Sheol is the place where all Old Testament souls went after death. Some to the compartment called Paradise, Abraham's bosom. It's part of Sheol. Any preacher who teaches you different, he's unscriptural. He's unbiblical. Abraham's bosom is part of Sheol. Why? We just showed you from the scripture that Old Testament saints, righteous ones who died in faith, went to Sheol. But they didn't go to the hell side of it. They went to Abraham's bosom. Now, others went to the compartment of Sheol called hell, which had different levels and degrees of punishment. It still does today. Now, part of this Old Testament structure would change drastically after Messiah came and rose from the dead. But we won't get ahead of ourselves concerning that. We will get to that in the weeks ahead. Father in heaven, how we thank you for tonight's study on the particular term that the Holy Spirit used over and over and over in the Masoretic text, Sheol. And it described a place in the center of the earth. And Lord, it described a place with different compartments. It described a place where Old Testament saints went, called Abraham's bosom. It described a place in it where Old Testament lost people went, sinners who did not repent and trust in the God of Israel, went to the place called hell within Sheol. Lord, we thank you that your word makes it so clear to us. And Father, we look forward to the weeks ahead, because this study on the place of the dead is going to get intense, because your word has so much to say about it. And yet, Lord, it boggles my mind how few there be today who are any way interested in the place of the dead. They say, eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we die, never giving a care or a second thought to their eternal soul and well-being spiritually. Father, that's horrifying to think. But we pray, Lord, that you use us as your faithful servants to share the love of Christ with them, that they might come to know the saving name of Jesus, that they might escape that horrible place called Sheol, hell, the hell side of it. And Father, use us in these last days. And Lord, we thank you for a great day. It's been good to gather with the saints in the house of God. And we thank you for the message this morning on snapshots of the Son of God. Lord, it causes us to focus the lens upon your glorious face and see you clearer and brighter and more glorious than ever before. We thank you for that. And we thank you for this study tonight. We pray you continue to bless it. And in the days and weeks and months ahead, if you should tarry, Lord, keep us faithful. Keep us faithful, Lord. That's our prayer tonight. Use us in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. 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 Folks, let's finish up with a hymn tonight. And let's open them up to 126, because there is a way of escaping the hell side of Sheol. It's through this precious fountain. William Cowper wrote, hymn 126 will stand, and we will sing the first, third, and fourth. Yeah, love that piano. Thank you, Lord.
There is a fountain filled with blood from Emmanuel's veins, and sinners plunged beneath the blood lose all their guilty sins.
did sing it tonight, folks. What a blessing. We're gonna have our dear brother Alex dismiss us in prayer tonight.
Lord,
yes.
Have us have a good weekend.
Mm-hmm.
In Jesus' name. And have Pastor and Marion have a good night.
Mm.
In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord, brother.